Thank you, Brother Verrill. Say good morning to all. And certainly, it's a delight and a joy to be with you today, sharing about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to acknowledge, as Brother Verrill has made mention, of those around the globe, those in Kenya. We want to send a special welcome to you. It's a joy to have you with us for the first time, and we trust it won't be the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Those in Romania, those in Europe, and certainly those in Greece, we want to thank the Lord and the Caribbean, North America, certainly Canada, and the U.S. of A. Well, our desire today is to really occupy us with the feet of the Lord Jesus, at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We'll have four lectures, as Brother Verrill has said to us. The first one is appreciation for Him. Appreciation for the work, the cross of Christ. Appreciation for the position into which we have been brought. An appreciation for the access that we do have into His presence. We know that when we are speaking about the feet, it brings before us that sense of walk or a person's way. I want to read a verse that is found, some verses in Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 4. It tells us, "For thou, Lord, had made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hand. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Very deep. It is God's pleasure to make known to us His thoughts towards us and the riches of His blessings, which He has manifested to the sons of men. I think it's in Psalm 107 and verse 8 that says, "Oh, that men may praise the Lord for His goodness and His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. When we look at these things and see what God has done for us, certainly it calls forth praise and worship and adoration to Him. We want to turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter 52 and just want to read two verses. Really, one verse, verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of Him that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bring in good tidings of good, and publisheth salvation, that said unto Zion, thy God reigneth." You know, this book of Isaiah, some have called it a royal prophet. Others have called him the evangelist or evangelical prophet, because he presents the King in His beauty, and he brings out before us some features of Christ that are very, very unique. Of all the books in the Bible, there is no book like the book of Isaiah. It has the most glories of Christ in one book. The first 39 chapters, from chapter 1 to chapter 39, brings before us and emphasizes the essential or personal glories of Christ and what He has acquired by becoming a man. From chapter 40 to verse 66 brings before us the moral glories of Christ. It tells us about his, he's the faithful servant, he's the righteous servant, he is the anointed servant. So we can say of Isaiah, he is the royal evangelist prophet, opening up to us things about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet upon the mountain, are the feet of him that bring it good tidings, that publish it peace. What a blessing to us. If we look at chapter 51 and verse 9, there is three calls to awake. Awake, awake. Verse 9. Verse 17, also of chapter 51. Awake, awake. And then verse 1 of 51. Awake, awake. The first one that is found in chapter 51 and verse 9 is God is like remember, bringing back to their remembrance what he did for them in olden days. How he went in and delivered them from the land of Egypt. Brought them out with a mighty arm. What a mighty manifestation of God was seen. And he says, awake, remember. Remember what I've done for you. Remember how I worked the horse and the rider I overthrown in the sea. How the sun on the other side of the Jordan. The second awake, awake, is that they had walked away from the things of the Lord. And the Lord now is calling them back to himself and saying to them, remember, indeed, your calling. Remember where you have fallen. Remember your iniquities. Indeed, confess your sins and I will come in and restore things. So there's a call again of repentance, if we should say. But the last awake, awake is like an encouragement. Is them, God is telling them to rejoice and be glad. Enjoy. I'm calling you back. I'm restoring things again. And brethren, as we look at this situation in the world, what is happening? Most people are occupied with this coronavirus. Yes, it is dangerous. Yes, indeed, none of us want to contract it. But listen, God wants our eyes to be on Christ. God wants us to see him. And now he's encouraging us and encouraging them and saying, look at the feet of him who's bringing these things to us. Indeed, and when we ask, who is he? Who is this one, indeed, that Isaiah is speaking about in the New Testament in chapter 10 of the book of Romans? Yes, it speaks about the remnant who is going to answer, indeed, in bringing this news after we are raptured, after we leave this place. But here it emphasizes the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is he? Who is this one? Even, the Lord asks the question, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Some say Jeremiah, some say John the Baptist. But whom, when he asks Peter in the book of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, indeed Peter says, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. When you think of who he is, indeed, beloved, who is he? In the Song of Songs, indeed, the bride says, indeed, come. He comes leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. She's speaking about this one, indeed, looking at him as he moves, and indeed, saying to us, this one has won my heart. Indeed, he has filled my heart. This is the one that I love. This is the one who is the delight of my heart. Indeed, as she sees him moving there. You know what Paul said? In the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. He says, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, indeed, you could imagine Paul, just like indeed the bride in the Song of Songs. It tells us that greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. And he tells us, you know, in John's Gospel and chapter 14, I believe it's verse 31, that the world may know that I love the Father. When you see this, it says, this one is bringing love to us. That's why we can say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But who he is? Who is this one? The scripture tells us he is God over all, blessed forever. Romans chapter 9 and verse 5. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. It tells us in the Gospel of John, indeed, that which was in the beginning with God, and he is God. The Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the great mystery of the scriptures, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So when we ask, who is he? We have to confess, like Thomas of old, my Lord and my God. This blessed one. What a blessing. But what he brings, he's coming leaping upon the mountain. But what he brings, his person is set forth before us. And Isaiah opened these things up. Indeed, how did we know? Isaiah told us about his virgin birth. Is Isaiah told, call him Emmanuel, God with us? Is Isaiah said, a light to the Gentiles and a glory to his people Israel? Is Isaiah told us he's a sanctuary, he's a rock in a sure place? Is Isaiah told us he's a stone? And you go through all these things. But here he's telling us, the one who come leaping upon the mountains, who come skipping upon the hills, is none other than God himself, having become man, the great mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. But what he brings? I just want to turn to some scriptures quickly. In Hebrews chapter 1. And it tells us, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat himself down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. Who is he? This is what he came out to give us, a revelation of the Father. Revelation. Yes, wonderful. We are going to see in the book of Luke, chapter 4, what he came out to bring also. But to reveal God to us, he is the image of the invisible God. So God is not invisible anymore. God has been made manifested. It tells us, indeed, he says, no man hath seen God at any time. But the only begotten that dwells in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath told him out. Philip asks, show us the Father. The Lord Jesus says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And John in his epistle tells us that eternal life which was with the Father and is now manifested unto us. We have seen it. We have handled him. We have touched him. And he says that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And he says, I wrote these things unto you that your joy may be full. What a blessing. we have been brought into. Indeed, he has brought a revelation of who God is. So you don't have to go any place and people saying, hey, you know, who God is like. Just look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at him. But also in the book of Luke, chapter 4. And verse 14. It tells us and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bound, bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What a blessing, the gospel. You know, if our gospel be hid, the gospel of the glorious gospel of Christ, it is hid to them that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel is good news. And who brought it? The Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of, in the book of Acts, when Peter said to Ananias' wife, the feet of them that bury your husband is outside the door. Those feet was really indeed bad news. Or in the days of Elisha, when there was a famine, nothing to eat, and the king says, listen, I'm going to take off the head of Elisha. And there he was sitting with the elders, and Elisha said to them, close the door, hold the door, because his messenger is coming, and the feet of his master is behind him. He was coming to cut off the head of Elisha. Well, what Jesus brought? He brought good news to mankind. He brought good news to us. And I tell you, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who believe is the power of God unto salvation. Brother Anthony is going to open this up for us. But the Lord Jesus brings this good news, glad tidings of great joy. It tells us in John's Gospel, indeed chapter 1 and verse 16, it says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth, the grace of God. We read in the book of Ephesians about the glory of his grace, which time will not give us to express, and in the riches of his grace. And not only so, the exceeding greatness of his grace. Brethren, indeed God has come in, indeed in grace towards us, giving man all his blessings, not by works which any man should have done, but it's according to his grace he has saved us by the washing of water. Indeed, Titus tells us, and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. The grace of God has come in. Who brought it? Where he brought it from? He brought it from heaven. And it tells us, not only so, in John's Gospel chapter 10, and verse 10. The thief or the devil comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, abundant life. Look what he brings. It's a package. And God is saying, look at his feet. Look at the person who have brought these things. And when you look at him, I will leap like the bride in the songs of Solomon. I will jump for joy like the man in Book of Acts. Silver and gold, Peter said to him, I don't have, but such as I have, I want to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh, I tell you, this man rose up and began to leap and praise God, because indeed the very action, indeed that was seen of the bridegroom skipping and leaping, coming up on the mountain, this man is manifesting. He knew the joy and what Jesus brought, he had embraced. What a blessing. The grace of God that brings with it salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we may live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. How beautiful are the feet of him who brought this good news to us. Think about this person. Most of the time we think about, yes, his work. And his work will never fail. But the person who accomplished the work, indeed, it's him. And he says, what a blessing. This one who has captured our heart. We want to sit at his feet. We want to hear him. We want to be occupied with him. And realize there is no place we would rather be occupied with him, as Isaiah speak about him in his glory. The year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This was a man, he was a prophet, telling everybody, whoa, 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 you're coming short, you're coming short. Until he saw the king in his beauty. You know what he says? Woe is me. Because after chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, this man's eyes was turned on Christ. And indeed he just opened up more and more about him. This is what our desires are. He has brought something for us. And we want all of us to lay hold upon him who has brought these things for us. May God bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.